Good morning. 00 hours.
Clear.
62 degrees. WHCMN, repeater in Guilford. Good morning. 0100 hours.
Clear.
61 degrees. Good morning. 0200 hours.
Clear.
61 degrees. Good morning. 0300 hours.
Clear.
58 degrees. Penetrating the bay like no one else can. This is the WHCMN repeater in Guilford. Good morning. 0400 hours.
Clear.
59 degrees. Good morning. 0500 hours.
Mostly clear.
56 degrees. WHCMN, repeater in Guilford. Good morning. 0600 hours.
Clear.
55 degrees. Good morning. 0700 hours.
Sunny.
55 degrees. Penetrating the bay like no one else can. This is the WHCMN repeater in Guilford. Good morning. 0800 hours.
Sunny.
58 degrees. Good morning. 0900 hours.
Mostly sunny.
63 degrees. WHCMN, repeater in Guilford. Thank you.
Good morning, 1000 hours.
Mostly sunny.
68 degrees. Penetrating the bay like no one else can. This is the WHCMN repeater in Guilford. Good morning, 1100 hours.
Mostly sunny.
72 degrees. Good afternoon, 1200 hours.
Sunny,
74 degrees. WHCMN, repeater in Guilford.
Switched over to the Flint repeater from the Lapeer repeater. How do we copy that? you're breaking up. I think it's about 3-9. I'm still learning that part of it as far as how they go. You're still getting loud, but you're breaking up a little bit.
We switch from Flint repeater to Peer repeater. Do you notice any change?
Yeah, APOT. When you switched over to Lapeer, it got a little bit more broken up. Other than that, volume is still good.
Okay, it's good talking to you. Let us know when you need to get that radio installed.
Copy that. I thought that was you. Y'all have a good day. APOT, I'm going to get some more work done on this one. The radio I was going to install in the truck, that deal fell through, so I'm now looking for a new one.
Okay, if you have any questions, you can always ask my hubby. You have a wonderful day. It's beautiful out here in Columbiaville. We're right by the Holloway Reservoir.
TF, ACOT. I was hoping to get home last night early enough to go to the open mic night, but by the time I got home, it was already like 10:30. So that kind of finished those plans.
We're there every week. You're welcome anytime. Have a great weekend.
KFAPOT, you also. Thank you very much again. Have a good day.
You too. KEHZMW, clear, 73.
Good afternoon. 1300 hours. Sunny. 76 degrees.
KBYS testing.
Penetrating the bay like no one else can. This. Good afternoon. 1400 hours. Sunny. 78 degrees. Penetrating the bay like no one else can. This is the WHCMN repeater in Guilford.
Festival. I just want to see if I can make it.
You make it in there nice and clear.
Appreciate the comeback. I'm going to shut everything down, head over to watch the first band, some kind of blues gig. These guys are, we'll see how it goes. Hopefully we get a better turnout than this. It's only about 30% of the last time I was here. Still a couple, maybe 200 people, but we'll see how it turns out. KB8OOE.
Alright, have fun. KB8CB.
Good afternoon. 1500 hours.
Mostly cloudy.
80 degrees. W8CMN, repeater in Guilford.
Whiskey 8, Juliet Delta Echo. Whiskey 8, Juliet Delta Echo, this is Kilo Echo 8, Whiskey Victor Bravo.
NAVLC, NAGYU. Guess not, NAGYU.
Good afternoon. 1600 hours.
Partly sunny.
80 degrees. Good afternoon. 1700 hours.
Partly sunny.
81 degrees.
KDADAX, Kilo Delta 8, Delta Alpha, X-ray mobile and monitoring.
Penetrating the bay like no one else can. This is the W8CMN, repeater in Guilford. Good evening, 1800 hours.
Mostly sunny.
80 degrees.
KDADAX, Kilo Delta 8, Delta Alpha, X-ray mobile and monitoring. Westbound I-69, exit 159. KDADAX. KDADAX.
Yeah, Mayday, well, monitoring. Romeo, mobile and monitoring.
FFR's KEACB.
The transmitting station, I did not catch the full call sign.
This is Kilo Echo 8, Charlie Brown.
Kilo Echo 8, Charlie Bravo, this is with Jake Foxtrot. Foxtrot Romeo, how are you tonight?
How are you? Going home from work, are you?
I've come back from Okemos. I have a friend out there, and I was hanging out with them all day today. and now I'm on my way home.
Yeah, Okamos. What kind of games did you play?
Oh, we didn't really play games. We just went to a bunch of places. Got some food. Hit up a couple stores for stuff that I needed. And then we went to a music store, went to a go-kart place, and a golf shop. So, had a lot of fun. I enjoy seeing my friend. I don't get to see her that often because of the distance.
How's your car project coming along? You finish it?
Well, so, about that. I just realized my handheld is doing just fine. Yeah, I have an occasional repeater desert where I'm in between repeaters because I have repeater books set to 10 miles, because that's about as far as I can get. But I just switched to the national calling frequency, and that radio is operational now. It's currently sitting home on my dresser with a antenna and a power supply that another ham graciously gave me. He actually built me an antenna, and it's currently on a temporary 6-foot pole. I didn't have anything bigger to mount it to, so it's only temporarily 6 feet. I hope to get it 12 to 20 here within the next couple weeks, but that mobile radio is now serving as a base station, and it's doing amazing.
I'm packing a bunch of my stuff up. I got a antenna, I got the tuner, the radio, coax, all in a container, make it easy for transport. I'm going to go out to Crow Island and activate it as a POTA site this weekend.
Yeah, I saw an article in QST magazine. I got an older copy of it, and this guy took a bunch of stuff and configured his radio to run off a 12-volt battery from, like, an impact driver or something. So I looked at the list, and I'm probably going to start putting that together here in a little bit so I can run my radio off of 12-volt tool batteries.
Yeah, I got a LiFO battery from Biolin Power and a solar panel to go with it, and that's what I'm going to be using.
Yeah, but I do want to work on my mobile setup to where I can pack up my radio and take it apart from the air or other stuff, because it is still a mobile radio. It's very small and it's very compact.
Yeah, mine looks like it's portable. It's listed as a portable HF radio, but this thing is the size of a base station.
Yeah, as much as I'd like for it to be in my car, I have not yet upgraded my license, so high frequency, between that and the fact that I'm holding on to money right now, I can't really go out buying a radio equipment. So I won't be getting the high frequency for a little bit. So I just figure I'd set up my mobile as a base station, get it on the air so I at least don't have to sit in my car anytime I want to try to make a driveway.
Yeah, I understand that. When I got my license in 2021, that's what I did. I had a 2980, and I moved it from inside the house to the car every time I went out to the car.
Yeah, now my 2980 does not leave my room. I actually screwed it to my dresser because I was pushing the buttons and the radio was sliding. So it's mounted to the dresser now. But so I'm using my handheld in my car, and it does fine. I got about a 10-mile range, so technically 20, because you can approach in repeater and then going away from the repeater. I got about a 20-mile radius that I can use my handheld, and I figured if I'm driving, I'm going to be eventually in between repeaters anyway, and if there's none within range, I can always go to national calling frequency, so for the time being, at least, My setup is giving me what I need.
So you studying to take your generals?
Really haven't, honestly. I got to, but I mean, work hasn't been, but I've had a lot of stuff going on the weekends, so it's been hard for me to be able to carve out the time to study, but I got to. I keep putting it off, too, and that's part of the problem.
There's a free mobile app called Ham Radio Exam hyphen General, and they got one for extra as well. And it's got all the questions that's available on the pool in that app, and it's 100% free.
Yeah, I've looked into that. I'm probably just going to do what I did for my technician and watch some YouTube videos and just run practice test after practice test till I get a decent pass rate and then go take the real thing.
That's what's great about that app I told you about. It has practice a test. It also does practice quizzes, so you could actually practice against the entire question pool.
I know I usually used the one on ARRL for, that's what I would use as their study tool. But I've looked into some others because I don't think ARRL has a mobile app.
I don't think they do, but there's hamstudy.org, their website's free, and then there's the Ham Radio Exam-General, and that's 100% free. It's made by a ham, and it's 100% accurate. I use their TAC General and Extra version to take all my tests.
Yeah, ultimately, I just got to stop procrastinating and do it. That's the biggest thing.
You like that
2980? Well, I love it. It does its job very well. It gets hot, but it does its job very, very well. I also know I'm getting about 1.32 on my SWR, so I'm doing pretty good, and the radio's taking it. Occasionally, I'll hear a little bit of feedback in my voice. But other than that, yeah, that radio, it's getting the job done.
If you're hearing your own voice, you're unkeying too quickly.
All right, I'll take note of that. My 6-foot pole that the antenna's on is anchored with baler twine, rope, and railroad spikes. This is WAFFR station ID.
KEACB. Yeah, I've done it on nets and stuff where unkeying too quick and you hear yourself. But yeah, it's kind of like a reminder. Slow down. that radio will get hot. The whole thing's a heat sink, but if you want to keep it cooler, a PC fan hooked up to 12-volt power supply and have it blow down on the top of the radio cools it off like a charm. Really cools it down. Just a simple, about the 6-inch ones. I forgot what that is in millimeters, but any of those PC ones that you can pick out of your desktop will do the trick.
No, I'll definitely look into that. After this transmission, I'm going to switch over to the Lapeer machine because I am on the edge of Flint. So I'm going to switch over real quick after this transmission.
Alrighty. KE8CB.
KE8CB, WAFFR.
Yeah,
Echo 8, Charlie Bravo, W8SFR.
KEACB to FFR, and there's another station in there?
Yeah, Camp 8 EYL. I was just listening to you guys.
Camp 8 EYL,
how you doing?
Welcome to the conversation.
Well, I'm doing just dandy, but you know, Ryan, you can do HF on with the technician class on 6 and 10 meters. You just get it, and 10 meters, you got to be careful what frequency you're on.
Yeah, that might be true. However, the problem is I ain't got the Benjamins to get into high frequency. So, yeah, at least not yet. KE8CB, back to you.
Keep your eyes out, you know. With the clubs, you know, a silent key comes around. Sometimes they sell off the equipment. You got the classified secondhand and stuff like that. You get something fairly cheap.
Although the ham that built me the antenna and sold me the power supply says he has a 10-meter radio that I could buy off of him. It's just I'm about to drop some money on a new base I need, so that's kind of my big purchase for the near future.
Did you say a new bass, like bass guitar?
Affirmative.
I got a buddy who's got like six of them. He's a big, Eddie Lee fan.
Yeah, this one's already ordered and put a down payment on it. It should be here this week. What sucks is one of my buddies was going to buy my current base, and then he had to back out. So I'm hoping the remaining value, they'll give me about equal trade-in. So I shouldn't have to spend too much, but, yeah, it's, yeah, I have to figure out how to do this, but, so, a radio's kind of out of my range right now, at least for the next few months.
Well, if you do get a radio, hit me up. I got a 10-meter, it's called a disc cone antenna that I'm not using that I got from another ham that I could give you.
All right. I appreciate that. I will definitely hit you up once I get a radio. And like I said, it won't be for probably a few months because work was not as busy as I thought it was going to get this summer, so I haven't been making as much as I originally planned on. I should pick up here next month.
Is there some type of a music event or something going on in Bay City?
Nope. Don't they usually have something going on every weekend in the summer?
I don't know. Somebody was on the radio earlier today I talked to, and he is breaking up, so I didn't catch where he went to, but he said he was headed to some type of music event. I don't know if it was on the pier or Bay City. It was on this repeater.
I know Ingham County Park over by where my friend is that I just hung out with today. They have music every Friday evening.
My mother had to go and get her thyroid removed the other day.
That's no good.
Yeah, well, that's better than the alternative. Apparently there was some type of thyroid levels were too high, which is an indication that the gland could go malignant. And so she got it out just to be safe. She wasn't going to do anything about it, but I talked to some people that had malignant problems up in that area, not exactly the thyroid, but it was in that area. And I found out that this one dude, he had so much chemo done to radiation therapy and stuff that his jaw rotted out. And I told her, you know, might as well get that thing removed. You don't want to have to deal with that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's no good having to deal with anything of that type because, you know, it does a lot of damage when you try to take care of it.
The strange thing is your allergies and sinuses acted up after surgery when she was in a recovery area, and now she can't talk. Her allergies got her throat all messed up, so she's basically screaming, but she sounds like she's whispering.
Yeah, that does not sound like a pleasant time.
Have you gone to a fox hunt yet this year?
I have not, but I hate to cut the conversation off, but I am about to pull into the driveway. I am very hungry, so K-E-H-C-B and K-F-A-A-Y-L, I'm sending 73 to both of you. Gentlemen, have a wonderful evening, and I will talk to you in the future. This is Whiskey 8, Foxtrot, Foxtrot, Romeo. I am clear.
Good evening, 1900 hours. Mostly sunny. 80 degrees.
AYL, this is KHCB. Still out there?
Affirmative, yeah. I'm still out here. Yeah, I was looking up the Bay City event calendar on my phone. They have live music every Thursday in the summer. Next weekend, there's sidewalk days. I think there's music every day during that. But nothing tonight, for the most part. Not in Bay City, anyway.
Yeah, well, guess he wasn't going to Bay City then. Have you been on a fox hunt this year?
Negative. I have not.
I've been to one actual fox hunt, and then at home I was on an accidental style fox hunt. You know, one of those cheap Chinese remotes that runs off a button cell battery, turns things on or off. Apparently it's defective. It was actually broadcasting a carrier very loudly, 433.9. And I sat down and had my SDR on my computer, and I was looking at the spectrum because I was building a Fox transmitter, and I was trying to find the frequency it was on, and I spotted this other thing. I said, this wasn't here yesterday. I went all through my yard, house, and everything, tracked it down to a drawer, and there it was. Full bars, and it turned out to be that remote pulled the battery out and vanished. I said, I discovered that, and I said, I'm glad there ain't no satellite hunters living nearby. They've been going ape crazy.
Really, it was putting that out without anybody doing anything with it, like just all by itself, just sitting there. That's pretty interesting.
Oh yeah. When the battery's put to it, it just puts out a carrier, and on 433.9, and it's stable on that frequency. It doesn't wander, and that's just nuts. I can't believe that it's doing that. I'm actually considering tearing it apart, see what I can learn, and see if there's a way to adapt it to turn it into a fox. That thing's more louder and more stable than my homebrew one. So if I can modify it, all the better. I just gotta figure out or try to figure out why it's broadcasting whatever data that it is and interrupt it. Well, if one was a conspiracy theorist, they might surmise that when the Chinese fly their quote-on weather balloons over the United States, that it's broadcasting to that. Well, if this remote had microphones or sensors or something, I'd get on board with that conspiracy. But it's just a on and off remote. Yeah, that's pretty funny. It shouldn't be doing that, that's for sure. And that's probably why there's regulations on that kind of stuff. Oh yeah, and that remote is a huge violation of the FCC rules. It's on the amateur band, for starters. Two, it broadcasts when it just has power applied to it, which it's not supposed to do. And probably a few other rules it's breaking. And since it's broadcasting on the amateur band, it's not putting out a call sign, so it's breaking that rule as well. Yeah, well, if you break one, it doesn't matter how many others you break. they're gonna do. It's gonna do what it wants to do, I guess. What was the remote? What does it belong to? Like, what was it supposed to turn on and off? It just turns on and off a simple toy. Thankfully, the remote ain't really needed, but. You know, it's the same remote that's used for, like, turning on LEDs and stuff. Here's a good one for you. I got my cousin with this one. He gets those LED strips, changes the lights and stuff like that, and he had this little radio clock thing that it's color-changing to it. And I key up on my radio on the right frequency, and it would change the color on his lights every time I key up. if I hit the amplifier, it's only 300 watts, and I only run it at 2, but that would turn his radio on. I think when I was on 40 meters or 30 or something, it turned his radio on. He thought his room was haunted. Yeah, that's pretty funny. You could have a lot of fun with that one, that's for sure. Screwing around with people. Well, the antenna is going right over top of this room. So, best case in all the right conditions for screwing with somebody. I talked to one ham. He had like a 1,500-watt amplifier. And he'd get on the right frequency, and he would interfere with the Christmas lights on his next-door neighbor. Drove them nuts. Yeah, that's pretty funny. Actually, just a buddy of mine got married last weekend, and one of his wedding gifts I gave him was a... He used it when we were kids in, like, the early 80s. He had this Batman and Robin talking alarm clock. It literally has a little record player inside with a little motor. The clockwork part is wind up still, so that doesn't use the battery. But the alarm part that plays the little record player, that runs off the battery. It's got this really dirty motor when you turn it on. When I was screwing around with it, trying to get it to work again, because I had taken it years ago because it broke. And I had taken it years ago to attempt to fix it, and I couldn't fix it when I was a kid, but I still had it for some reason. So I took it out of the box a couple months ago, and I was screwing around with it trying to get it to work again. And I got it to work again, but that, man, that motor, I don't know what it is. I had one of the heat
Chinese radios on a GMRS frequency, and it started not going off, but the little receive bar started coming on a little bit. So I'm like, what the heck is happening here? Is this motors putting out some kind of frequency when it's operating? I don't know, but that motor seems to be really dirty, but it works.
And did it have a dialer across the terminals?
I believe it does, yes.
Well, at least they put a back EMF protector in it, but yeah, that's a very dirty motor. It's unfiltered. yeah, there's a lot of stuff that can mess with your radio. That's what fox hunting is about, is to find and determine what device is interfering with your radio so you can nullify it and find those pirates.
Yeah, that's interesting stuff for sure. That's interesting stuff for sure. Yeah, I took that radio and gave it to his now wife, and I said, put it in here. I don't want to give this to him. Put it in the house, because he sleeps all night. I know him. He sleeps all night. He doesn't get up. I'm like, if you put it in the room when he goes to bed, he's going to hear the ticking. So after he goes to bed, after he's sleeping, put it in his room and have it go off. So he can wake up to it like he was 14 years old.
You're just out to give that guy some flashbacks, aren't you?
Oh, it worked. He called me up that morning because she did it, and he called me up that morning, and he was like, what the hell, man? Where the hell did you get this? I'm like, that's your cock. I took it. Don't you remember I took it when we were, like, in high school, and I was making fun of you for having a, you know, quote, kid's clock? But, yeah, I fixed that little thing. It's pretty funny. That little record player in there is kind of hilarious. And the Batman and Robin speech of getting up and getting out of bed. Time to get up. Jump in Jehoshaphat, Batman. Yeah, I don't... Old times.
Is the miniature record just for looks, or does it actually function? KEACV.
KFAYL. No, the miniature record is the part that talks. So when the alarm goes off, it's a talking alarm. The alarm goes off, and it's Batman and Robin talking. Like, jump at Jehoshaphat, Batman. We're needed again. Yes, Robin, it's time to wake our friends. Golly jeepers, Batman. I'll make the call. You know, just that kind of stuff. And that's the record. The little record thing is buried inside. You can't even see it. But that's what the motor's spinning, and that's what it's playing when the alarm part of it goes off.
Oh, that's funny. That's Adam West, Batman, isn't it?
It is. It's Adam West's voice and the Robin voice from that era. I recognize Adam West's voice when the record started playing again. I'm like, yeah, no, that's definitely... Damn, they must have got him to record it for these clocks when they sold them for kids' toys or whatever.
Yeah, they got paid for a day's wage to make those recordings back then. Sometimes it wouldn't get paid. It, you know, got cheated. But, yeah. I wonder if they ever made a Knight Rider one.
I don't know that I've ever seen a Knight Rider one, but I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't. It wouldn't surprise me if there was one out there. All you gotta do is go look.
So, are you part of a club?
I'm assuming you're asking radio club, and the answer to that would be negative. I am not part of a
Radio Club.
Do you have a ham radio club near you?
Honestly, I have no idea. If there is, they're not on the radio very often, if at all.
That is so true of pretty much all the clubs I know of. You never hear anybody on the Midland Repeater, pretty much. Saginaw Repeater's pretty much dead. Bay City Repeaters are very, very dead. I don't really check Frankenmuth once. I used to check that one, but that was always dead, and I gave up on it.
Aren't they all on DMR now? Everybody's doing the digital stuff?
I don't know about that. You do got a lot of people like the DMR. You got repeaters that will do both. A lot of people like Fusion, including myself. I like Fusion. I don't really care for DMR, but I use a Fusion crossover. So my Fusion radio acts as a hotspot, and my hotspot translates everything and puts it into DMR, so I can get into any DMR chat room that way. But I don't use it much anymore.
Yeah, every manufacturer's got their own proprietary system. So, yeah, the Fusion's what, Yaesu, and DMR is like the Motorola and some other maker. Yeah, I don't know. I haven't gotten in there yet.
You're on HF, right?
I have not done any HF yet either, but this radio I'm on will do 6 meters and 10 meters. I just not got in there. Well, I don't think I think you can only do 10 meters on CW with a technician, lowly technician class license, but the 6 meters I could do. I kind of need to get an antenna. I don't have an antenna for it, but you can build those ones, so at least makeshift ones yourself for that. Just haven't done it yet.
Yeah, if you want a 2 meter, Fox Hunt antenna, and you want a dual purpose and also use it for transmitting on, in case you ever decide to chase a satellite, Aero antenna makes good ones. You can either buy it, or you could download the data sheets from their website and build one. It's got all the measurements on there, and it's even got the measurements for the gamma tube, which I highly recommend using gamma tube over hairpin match. That gamma will give you way better SWR. And I just upgraded mine. It was made using a piece of wood for a boom, but that got a little heavy when you're carrying that around with one hand. So I switched it out to an aluminum boom, and I just remade everything, new insulators, new screws. I even made a handle. I borrowed my family member's 3D printer and built a handle and a radio caddy so I could have everything on one thing. So, cause my other hand's busy holding on my dogs, trying to find the transmitter. The owner that hid the transmitter has a bunch of cats. So I said, find the cats, doggies, find the cats. They didn't find it. They find a lot of smells, but they never did follow the scent to the transmitter like I was hoping. I had to do it the old-fashioned way, use the radio.
Yeah, that's pretty funny. And I think when I get into HF, I'm guessing this radio is probably not the best at that. I because it's a VHF, UHF, and HF radio. Maybe the HF was probably an afterthought for them, but it's a mobile radio I'm using as a base station, kind of makeshift, but like to get kind of a real base station radio that does that. I think it'd be a lot better experience. Yeah, how's that antenna you put up? Did you get it up any higher? I have not. It's in the same spot it's always been for now. I'm going to be building a pole barn at my place up north, but I have as part of that process, I bought one of these lifts, like a 34-foot articulating boom lift, because I'm going to have to be doing it by myself for the most part, and I bought one of those that I'll just use for while I'm building it and resell it, but when I get that here, because I'm supposed to go pick it up next week, when I get that here, I'll be able to get it up a little higher anyway, without endangering myself. I'd suggest keeping the lift in case you ever need to put up another antenna or go up there and adjust the old one or wing it, because you're going to have to change the coax after a while. So having that around is going to be a real blessing. Oh, it would be nice, and my wife kind of thinks that's what I might do anyway, but it's expensive, right? It's like a $32,000 thing, so it's a little bit brutal for something to keep around just to use once every year or so. But while I'm building stuff and then we're going to redo a house, it'll be nice for that. But after that, I can't keep that. I'm going to have to get rid of it. It's a temporary item. It's a nice piece of equipment, but yeah, not really. Not something you can really keep around unless you're rich or something. I don't know. Well, maybe before you sell it, I'll have you come over here and help me retune my antenna. When they put it up on the roof, it got out of tune. Well, what'd they do to it to make it out of tune? Did they bend one of the elements or something of that nature? No, it's just the physics. I didn't have it high enough off the ground when I initially tuned it. I only had it like 10 feet. And when it got up to the 29-foot mark, it increased the SWR a little bit. So the only way to adjust is to use a boom lift to get up there to play with that gamma tube. I see. Well, you need to make friends with your squirrel buddies and have them fix it. KEACB. Squirrels are too busy annoying my dog. They get these peanuts from the neighbor's yard, and then they come and sit at the top base part of the tree, and then they eat the peanut. And sometimes I think they throw some of the stuff on the ground at the dogs, but yeah, I haven't heard them in a while. Sometimes the squirrel come over with his lunch, and he'll sit up there and make a lot of noise to get my dog's attention. And then when my dogs get out there, he eats his lunch in front of them. He's a real snot. I haven't heard from him in a couple of weeks, so who knows, maybe a neighbor dog or a car got him. Yeah, they can be little stinkers sometimes. I just happen to be watching one running around in the tree canopy right now. Yeah, I don't know if getting mine up higher is going to help or not, because like I've said before, I'm in the forest here, so unless I can really get it out of the canopy, which is about, you know, the general canopy is probably about 80 foot, so you'd need
need 100 feet to get it out of the canopy here, to get clear of it. I don't know that, and actually I've tested a different antenna for GMRS, and if I put that one up, it's about 16 feet in a tree, but it's right in the middle. It's above the ground scrub, but it's below, like, all the main canopy. And that's a beam antenna that's pointed at the repeater there. And if I go up any higher, it gets into the tree canopy scrub, and it doesn't work as well. If I go lower, it's in the ground scrub, and that's no good. So in the middle, there's far less foliage, like, in the middle height-wise of the forest. So that seems to be where it works best, because it can get out of this forest area here before it runs into anything, and then it'll go and get there no problem. So going up higher is not necessarily good here unless I can get it up out of the canopy.
So your antenna is a beam?
That's a different antenna for the GMRS only. So it's a beam antenna specifically made for 450 to 470. So like a six-element beam about 4 feet long.
Alright. Hey, you got like a 15-foot vertical with radios for your 2 meters?
This is a Diamond base station antenna. I don't remember how long it was. I'd have to go look it up.
It's either the 8-foot or the 15-foot. 15-foot's got the highest DBI. But yeah, Diamond's a good antenna. I've heard people would put a ground plane on the ground. It's done in HF a lot. It's just wires that you spread out along the ground. Some people bury them, or they just lay them there temporarily, and it will cause the signal to aim higher. So you could probably look that up and maybe do that to cause the signal to travel more of an upward angle so it goes over the foliage.
WHCMN, repeater in Guilford.
KF8AYL. Yeah, there's different things you can do for sure. That's for sure. There's all kind of, the whole UP used to be they used to have a buried grid antenna for talking to the submarines back in the 70s and the 80s. They decommissioned it sometime in the late 80s, but it's still there. It's just not used anymore. But half the people in UP used to complain to the federal government about being radiated with low-frequency radio waves. I don't know what frequency they were on, but it was, you know, something 2,200-something waves. Some super low, so they didn't get through to submarines halfway under the sea. But, yeah, interesting stuff.
Yeah, I've heard ultra-low frequencies can affect people, especially their minds, especially if they're sensitive to it, I've heard. I'm not sure what frequency range that is, but, yeah, that's interesting how that works out. I don't know what frequency, but there's a little device. You could actually buy it. It's a PsyOps device. And you place it in a room, and it will play a sound intermittently, like a little chirp. And it's on one of those frequencies that will basically make you a little bit irritated when you hear it. And they sell it as a gag gift, too, I believe I've seen on the internet. And you can place it in a room and drive a person up a wall.
Yeah, there's stuff like that. I'm an IT guy, and back in my earlier days, I used to manage a room full of like 40 CAD stations at this job shop I was working at, and that they had these larger, they were 24-inch tube monitors for the CAD, we call them tubes, for the CAD stations. But they were, they were old CRT monitors of a fairly large size, and there was, 40-some of them in this room, and occasionally one would act up, and apparently me and only one other person are super sensitive to, like, some high frequency, and I'd be like, there, one of these monitors is acting up, it's driving me nuts. I gotta find it. And I'd hone in on it and, like, start turning them off. I'm like, this one right here is bad. It's going back, getting a warranty. They're like, what? There's nothing wrong with it. It works fine. I'm like, no, it doesn't work fine. It's driving me insane. We need to replace it.
finally, somebody that could relate to me. I haven't found anybody that's that sensitive to that stuff before. Starting to think I was the only one. I could be in a classroom or a room with a bunch of tech, and yeah, 9 out of 10 times there'd be something in there that's defective. And I found out that it's a capacitor, especially on the monitors. And when that capacitor goes bad or goes out, the device starts emitting a psyop frequency that, if you're sensitive to it, it will cause you some discomfort and drive you nuts. I don't know if it hurts you or not, but my ears would hurt from it.
Yeah, I can't say it ever hurt me, but it was certainly really annoying, like, enough to where I couldn't concentrate on what I was doing. I'm like, I gotta find it, because it was immediate. It would all of a sudden just start humming, or you come in one day and people would turn their stuff on and be like, who just came in, who just turned on? Because whatever station you're at, that one's bad. There was one other guy in the room that could hear it too, but everybody else thought we were crazy. There's nothing wrong. I'm like, nope, this one here is bad. It's going back.
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't know if it bothers them, but I think it probably, like, affects them on a unconscious level, you know? Like, they don't hear it, but it's eating away at them, you know, making them hostile or hours of long periods. But, how about fluorescent lights with a ballast? When those ballasts go bad, those things would put off a terrible racket.
Yeah, I'm very sensitive to that, too. I can't stand the bad fluorescent light ballast. Plus, usually when they start making noise, they also start flickering one of the two bulbs that are connected to it. So you usually have to do that anyway. But, yeah, whether those things go bad or somebody come over, you want this light, I plug it in and be like, here, and I'm like, no, you can have this, I don't want it.
Yeah, it's terrible though when they don't know the light's bad because it ain't flickering yet. You walk in the room and the ballast is bad, it's putting off the noise that you can hear, but it just ain't flickering yet. It needs a few more weeks.
Yep, that's usually what happens. You start hearing it, and then within a few days or a week or whatever, the light would actually start flickering. Usually they're flickering by the time I find them, but I've had them where I've owned them, and it's my light, and it starts to go, and I'm like, yeah, that bastard light up there. I would have kind of avoided putting in fluorescent lights because of that. Now that said, when I built my barn here, I filled it with a whole bunch of fluorescent lights, but they're of a commercial style with a much better ballast. It's a, I think they're a very different type of ballast. When I was doing the research, they're not like an old school 80s or 90s ballast. These are modern things, and these lights put out more lumens than any LED cans for the same amount of power, at least when I bought them. It may not be the case today, because that was a few years ago. But lights in my barn never bother me. I never hear those ballasts.
Delta College's library, it's got those detectors next to the door when you walk in. To detect people from walking out with stuff. One of those units is defective. And when I've walked in there, I'm the only one that could ever hear it. But it literally caused me pain. It hurt both my ears. Until this one time when I was young, I was helping removing an old dishwasher that's been sitting there dead for decades. And it hit metal on metal, and it rang. And it actually injured my left ear. The ear recovered after years, but that sound doesn't hurt my left one, just my right one. But my left one can hear it again, strangely enough. and they still haven't fixed that, even though I told them many times it was defective when I used to go there.
Yeah, that's pretty funny. There's a few years ago, I was, I was doing something, but I'm like, you know, it seems like I can't. I was talking to some buddies of mine, I'm like, one of which is he's a doctor. And I'm like, I just don't seem to be, you know, here as well. I just kind of chalked it up to getting older or whatever. And he took a quick look into my ears, like, well, you got impacted wax in your ear. That happens to everybody. It's no big deal. Just go to the ear doctor, and they'll clean that out. So I did that. I made an appointment for the ear guy, and he cleaned out my ears. And I was like, oh, wow, I can hear a lot better. That's awesome. But then when I went back home, I heard something in the basement that had been there a while, but I hadn't heard it before. I'm like, that thing's buzzing. I don't like this. It was a Wi-Fi access point. I'm like, this Wi-Fi access point, I had to unplug it. I'm like, yep, this one's going to get replaced. I don't like this one. My wife's like, I don't hear anything. I'm like, I hear it, and I don't like it.
Kind of made you want to put the wax back, don't it?
Not really, because the hearing was so much better. I was like, it was like, wow. It was kind of like night and day when you walked out of there. It was like, I can hear a lot better. And my doctor buddy's like, yeah, everybody really should have that done, whether they think they need it done or not. Everybody should have that done like once or twice in their life at least.
Yeah, it's really annoying when you just get a little tiny speck of that wax filled up and it actually causes your ear to hurt. Just because of the way it attached itself. I had to go in and go in to the ENT and I was complaining, and she go in there and she just found a little tiny speck. She said, there's nothing in here really that should be bothering you. And the second she got it out of there, I was feeling 100% better. And I said, that might not have been much to you, but that was a thorn.
Yeah, for some people, it's the way they use their Q-tips or whatever when they're cleaning their ears out themselves regularly. Some people can tend to impact it more and kind of make it worse, not getting stuff out. Your guy showed me, he's like, now when you're using your Q-tips, you want to do this, you don't want to do that. You know, he kind of showed me a technique, if you will, to lessen the effect over time, but who knows? I tried to implement it. We'll see. I know my hearing's been getting worse. Maybe I need to go have that done again.
Here's a question for you. How's your take on wind chimes? You like them or hate them?
Wind chimes? I can't say those bother me at all. I mean, I don't really like them, but the sound doesn't annoy me. If my wife said she wanted one, I don't know if I'd like the constant noise of that. The noise itself doesn't bother me, but I just don't like stuff that makes noise all the time. Because I'll hear it, like laying in bed with the windows open or something. But I wouldn't like it, but I can't say it really bothers me or anything, the actual noise itself.
All right. Sounds like you haven't been around them too much. When I was younger, my mother kept wanting to hang those stupid things up. And eventually, I'd make them disappear. I didn't like the sound they make. Sometimes they actually hurt my ears. And I found them incredibly annoying. And if I was married and my wife came home and hung it up, either she's leaving or the wind chime is leaving. But something's leaving.
Yeah, well, if it's actually hurting your ears, I can see that. That's a huge problem. That's a huge problem.
Do you find things getting louder the older you get?
I can't really say that. I don't think they're really getting louder. Maybe certain types of noises I'm more sensitive to, but I can't say there's, in general, anything's really getting louder.
Yeah, the things you're sensitive to seem to get more annoying, a little louder to you. Sounds like you got the same thing I got. I had to go to a university up north, got the name of the university, but they specialize in ears up there. And I went up there and I discovered I had hearing tolerance loss. And I was told that the older you get, the more sensitive you're going to become. So things would be basically get louder. And which is so far been on par true. I have a difficult time hearing people talk to me now because if there's something else louder than they are, it drowns the person talking completely out. So if a car goes by, I just missed everything you said. All I heard was that loud, annoying car.
Well, the car analogy is interesting because that does tend to happen to me where somebody's talking and a car goes down the road and or something like that. I'm like, man, what did you say? I'm sorry, I missed what you said. That's happened before. And, a couple of buddies of mine live, kind of on a main road. I'm like, yeah. Talking in the front yard here, that doesn't work. We need to go in the backyard where I can not hear this road. You know, you just talk it up to, they're used to it because they live there. But when I go there, it's like, man, I can't, I can never live here. That's driving me nuts.
Yeah, I live on a main road, and, I have difficulty talking to people in the front yard or outside. That traffic is just drowns them right out for me. But that's called hearing tolerance loss. Basically, your ears can't filter the noise. And that's what it is. So you're sensitive around fireworks, gunshots, cars backfiring, high-frequency sounds, like the monitors. Because if you have proper filtering in your ears, your brain just doesn't it filters it out and ignores it. And, people like me, we hear all that crap.
And when I first wired the barn that I built here, I wired it myself with everything's in conduit with THA-10 because I don't like Remex. And the way I did this one circuit, and it turns, it's a circuit that controls all the fluorescent lights. But there would be a 60 megahertz, or the 60 hertz hum in that light switch box. My buddy, who's an electrical engineer, he kind of helped me design the wiring and stuff, but I did it all, and I'm like, I hear that. He's like, I hear it kind of. It's not really bad. He's like, that's called the 60 hertz hum, and I'm like, yeah, I'm going to have to reroute those wires, you know, because there was other wires going through that switch box to other circuits. That's what was causing a problem. So when I rerouted those out of that box, the 60 hertz hum went away in there. But I was like, yeah, I'm not going to listen to that. It's my barn. I'm gonna reroute those other circuits around.
Yeah, my power supply to my radio got to one of those transformer hums to it that you're sitting here watching TV and that thing decides to act up. I have to reach down and turn it off just so I get some peace and quiet. That thing, to me, is loud. I contacted the company and they said, yeah, one of those windings came loose or something and that's what's causing the noise. Yeah, but I'm on a warranty, so I'm, you know, SOL on it. It's either I could buy the parts from them, fix it myself, pay the $100 in shipping to have them fix it, pay the fixed fee, pay for shipping back. I said, I ain't paying crap. I only had this thing a year. And it's intermittent. It doesn't do it all the time. So when it does do it, I just don't use the radio that day.
Yeah, that's getting pretty sensitive. Well, all right, sir. My wife's calling me here. She wants me to come in and help her with stuff. She just had a foot surgery a couple weeks ago. She's still kind of hobbling around on crutches and needs help with a bunch of stuff. So I'm going to have to say 73s for the moment. This is KFA EYL. I'll be clear on your final.
All right, take it easy. Hope your wife feels better soon. KEACB73.
Good evening, 2000 hours. Mostly cloudy. 77 degrees. Good evening, 21 hours. Mostly sunny. 73 degrees. Penetrating the bay like no one else can. This is the WHCMN repeater in Guilford. Good evening, 22 hours. Mostly clear. 69 degrees.
KEA, CMW monitoring.
KEA, CMW monitoring. WHCMN, repeater in Guilford.
CMW, this is KF8AYL. I gotcha. How are you doing this evening?
Doing great. We're up near Mayville from Davison, just checking our radio out.
All right. Well, I'm in Birch Run. My name's Ken here. I'm in on the Guilford Tower as well, so you should be hitting that pretty well. You're coming in pretty good. No problems.
Well, thank you for responding, Ken. That's great. Good to know. We're trying to, every time we go somewhere, we're trying to try it out to see how far we can go if we pick up anybody. We are newly licensed techs. Just got this mobile. We have one in the house, but this one in the mobile we've only had a few weeks.
Well, I'm fairly new too. If you're KE8, I'm KF8, so you're before me. So you got more experience than me, apparently.
We originally got these in case we ever need them, in case if the grid goes down. But me and my hubby, I enjoy talking to people, so I'm really enjoying this. And I'm going to be working on getting my general so I can go out even further. The farthest I've talked to anybody is Carlos in the winter. A gentleman was up at the park watching the ice, I don't know what you call it, ice formations maybe.
Yeah, that the Gopher Tower here, which is pretty much Mayville, that one's I think mounted 850 feet. It's reaching out pretty good. Plus, there's a bunch of voting receivers and other places. So, yeah, the Tawas. I think I've talked to one or two people in the Tawas State Park when they were there or whatnot across the bay. They come in pretty well. That tower reaches out pretty darn good.
Well, it was sure nice talking to you. I get on every so often. I will look forward to talking to you in the future.
Alrighty, good making your contact. Enjoy the rest of your evening. This is KF8AYL.
Thank you for the contact. We just left the Mayville Sunflower Festival, and this is KE8. BMW clear 73.
Good evening. 23 hours. Mostly cloudy. 68 degrees.
KF8DOT monitoring.
KF8AYL.